The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 26th day of February 2023. And wow, two more days till March, and it's been an interesting winter so far. But anyhow, I want to get right into the message tonight because we have a lot to cover. And the title of the message is Things That They Say God Got Wrong. What do you say? That's right. That's the title. Things That They Say God Got Wrong. Today we played a video, and this morning just prior to the service, and in this video, it was a video of the Church of England, and you had three apostate bishops. They referred to themselves as bishops in the Church of England, and that's what they were saying. God got things wrong when it comes to sexuality, so on and so forth. Now, I'll explain here in a little while how they try to justify this complete insidious false teachings that they have. Now here we had, they started out with an apostate named Sarah Mahaley. Well, first of all, Sarah, not only are you an apostate, but women are not to be ordained ministers, and women are not to pastor churches. That's what the Word of God teaches. You have Justin Welby, along with Stephen Cantrell. All three of these are apostate preachers. And folks, you know, the Bible says rebellion is the same as witchcraft. And so we're going to take a look at, in fact, these people are described perfectly as we go through here in the Word of God. But we're going to start tonight in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And it starts out, says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, over in Peter refers to Peter 3:15, I believe. It talks about how in the last day there will be apostates. There will be apostates coming, false teachers. Well, boy, there's more now than there's ever been. But he says, again, know this also, that in the last day, perilous times shall come. Well, that word perilous also could be translated fierce or furious. It's used only one other time in connection with the demonics in the country of the Gergesenes, describing them as exceedingly fierce. And here, of course, the world will become increasingly violent and dangerous as the end approaches. So, in other places in Scripture, it says in later times or in end times, but here it's very specific in the last days. And so here, we take a look at this perilous, and we see today, for example, there's a lot of talk out there lately of nuclear war. You you keep hearing these generals saying that we're closer to nuclear war we've ever been. Because, thank you, Mr. Biden and the Communist Party. We have terrorists coming across our borders. I mean, a lot of Joe Obama Biden has brought thousands and thousands of terrorists into our country. You're not, the fake news media is keeping it up, but they've been attacking our grid stations. A number of our grids have been under attack. They've been burning down food manufacturing plants, food processing plants. And, of course, the fake news media, what they call the mainstream, NBC, ABC, CBS, and, of course, CNN, which is one of the worst, they're playing this down. They're keeping this away from you. They don't want you to know. You're having more and more. In fact, 100,000 young people died just in 1 year, just last year, of fentanyl and other drugs. They're killing off the kids left and right. But again, the fake news media will downplay this because that's what their orders are, to downplay it. Joe Biden, I've said it time and time again, he gets his orders directly from the Communist Party, the Chinese Communist Party, and his job was to keep the gates, to be gatekeeper, keep the borders open so that all of these terrorists could come in. And they're working, the Biden crime family works hand in hand with the drug cartels and the human smugglers, making sure that there's enough children for the use of the pedophiles, the Democrats, and the Democratic Party. And so here, and now it's both the northern and the southern borders. You've got today when it says perilous, COVID. You've got COVID and now this new thing, this Marburg, they say, is much, much worse. That if you contact that Marburg, you've got an 80% chance of dying. Then you've got, of course, the FBI, the CIA, NSH, etc., have been weaponized against Christians. That's right. They've all been weaponized now against us, against Christians. You've got the deep state, you've got the killing of those that took the poisonous poke. How many are dying now? We're hearing every day more and more people that took what they call the vax, which is not a vax at all. More and more people are dying. They're getting sick and dying from the so-called vax. You've got high-tech hooking up with mainstream media, working together with the DNC to commit voter fraud. And so little Marky from Facebook has already said they're gearing up. He's getting ready to go at it again. More and more voter fraud. You've got this obsession with child killing and abortion, pedophilia, pornography, sodomy, and they literally try to push sodomy down your throat today. This LGBT, the fake news media, what they call the mainstream, is trying to legitimize, along with the NEA, all of the so-called woke are trying to legitimize this horrible, horrible sin of sodomy, as they've done with the child killing, okay? Trying to legitimize it. Now, these apostates are openly coming out and saying, well, here, what we're going to get to this point, because we're going to show you here in a minute how it is they're trying to justify it. Now, he goes on and he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous. Now, here, that word covetous, It's an interesting word. Here, well, let's go with perilous times. Okay, we've covered that. If we go with the word covetous, if I remember right, the word of the Greek is philagouras. It means lovers of silver. That's what that word translated covetous here in the Greek is. It's lovers of silver, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Now here again, that the implication is that their affections are unnatural. Yeah, I guess they would be. Two ways. One, there's nothing that should be more natural than the love and the protection and the nurture of a baby in the womb. Even a mother grizzly bear will fight a male grizzly twice her size to defend her cubs. A mother lion will fight off a male lion twice her strength to defend her cubs. And because these lions and the bears, if a male bear senses that the cub does not want his, then he'll try to kill it. And I don't know how they know these things, but they do. And so here, when we go and it says, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers. There's another word. Now that word is an interesting word because it's probably familiar to you. It's diabolus, diabolus. And that word has a couple of meanings there, applications. The one definition, diabolus, is meaning the slanderer, the accuser. The other is a name for Satan himself. It's a name for the devil himself, again, meaning accuser of the brethren. And so he goes on to say, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And we're talking about in the apostate church, you have these, especially, who have the appearance, and we're going to take a look, they appear as godly people, but they're wicked to the bone. Having the power thereof, from such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. Well, here what he's talking about here is women that minimize their feminine nature for one thing, and there's often they're seeking to be something they're not. Or if you'll notice today too, in the Prosperity Church, the name and claim it, if you pan the audience with Joel Osteen, and they have these huge crowds of people, about 80% of them are women. Why? Well, the Bible makes it very clear that the enemy will attack men, normally attacks men. The norm is to attack men in the area of pride. In women, we see that it attacks women in the area of discernment. And this is why they're easily fooled and taken into the apostate church. And so here, in fact, you know, we had some women that were attending church, and they didn't want to hear this. And they didn't want to hear when we preached on wives to obey your husband, okay? There in Ephesians, husbands, love your wives. Wives, obey your husbands. They did not want to hear that. These were, I don't know. Well, we call them church hoppers because they go, they try to find a church where they're preaching what they want to hear instead of the Word of God. And you're going to get those, okay? And I remember one occasion where we were preaching that part about women being obedient to their husbands and this and that, and they just up and a couple of them just up and shot right out of the church. They didn't want to hear that. But that's what he's saying here. He says, for this sort of they which creep into houses. Now, houses there means church houses. It's referring to church houses. And lead captive silly women laden with sins and led away with diverse lusts. ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's because they're not learning the truth. And so here, he says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. And so that was the whole idea. They resist the truth. They don't want, they want excitement. They want an emotional, if you will, maybe an emotional affair with excitement or with whatever. But this is why, again, where the enemy attacks women is in that area of discernment. And then it goes on to say, men of corrupt minds also reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. You know, sooner or later it catches up with them. I had to laugh when Jesse DePlantis, folks, when Jesse DePlantis was telling this group of women how God calls on him for advice. I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. And these women, some of them believed it, okay? Well, I'll guarantee you God does not ask Jesse DePlantis for advice at all, okay? But this is what he's referring to here in this area here. Now, he goes on to say, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Sooner or later, it's going to catch them. They get exposed, okay? Like Peter Popoff, like a number of these prosperity preachers have been caught. And I noticed the one, and wouldn't you know, I'm having one of my senior moments there. He was one of the most, he's starting to back off and walk back a lot of what he's been teaching, admitting that he's been teaching false doctrines. And so here now, we see these things, we see this litany of attributes and characteristics of the way people will be in the end days, the last days, the times just before the Lord returns for his church. Now, I want to go over and take a look at, now these, when I watched these Church of England, you had these three apostates. Well, you had two of these Anglican priests, if you will, step up and rebuke the other three. But they were definitely outnumbered. The Church of England, they applauded when they heard these guys preaching on accepting sodomy, when they passed a resolution to accept sodomy as normal and natural within the Church of England. There was this huge applause. And so when these two others got up to rebuke and refute, of course, they got booed. But I want to go over to 2 Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, and we start out with verse 4. For if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you received another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, here, another Jesus, it means that a preacher or teacher talks about Jesus. You hear this all the time. False prophets. Here, a few years ago, you had this fellow who referred to himself as D-Jesus, meaning the Jesus. And he was making his rounds. He came from South America, and he was here. And he was actually invited to come in your World International Council of Churches. Let him come in. And he actually had 666 on his forehead. And he would come, and he would, he had, his daughter was with him. And he had two whores with him, two women that were very, very scantily dressed. I mean, very scantily dressed. And they were going, and he was going into these different churches, and he was saying that he died upon the cross, and he suffered like no man had ever suffered 2,000 years ago. And he did it so that we could live any way we wanted. We weren't under any laws or any moral convictions. We could do and live freely and do whatever we wanted to do without any condemnation. This is what he was teaching, and this is what people wanted to hear. They wanted to hear that. And so they were quick to fill the offering plate for someone who would preach to tickle their ears and tell them, hey, guess what? I'm here. So they wanted to accept this guy. Well, I'm not quite sure what happened to him, but I think he got arrested and jailed. And so here now, he says this, for if he cometh preaching another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Now, a lot of people misunderstand that, when it says you might well bear with him. That word, anakomo in the Greek, doesn't mean that we are to hold it up, to bear it like you would bear a burden upon your shoulders. No, it means exactly the opposite, that you push it away, that you would push it away from yourself, is what he's saying there, what that word is. So it would probably have been a better translation, but of course, you know, at different times, words have different meanings. So then I want to go over to verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, that they may be found even as we. Now, what is he saying? Some years ago, there in Cleveland, you had Mayor White. Now, he decided he invited a bunch of preachers. I was amongst them. They got invited to come and discuss whether or not that they should be opening the meetings, you know, there to city hall, town hall, and the mayor's meetings, whatever, if they should be opening that in prayer. So I went, and there were a number of other pastors there, some from the Cleveland Baptist, others from Pastor Sundermeyer's church, and I believe Pastor Black's church. And so there were actual real pastors there, but then there were the apostates, these liberals that came. And these liberals said no, that to open meetings in prayer would be offensive, very offensive to the unsaved, to the heathen. Therefore, we shouldn't be offensive, offend them by praying to God. And so what happened was, I know after the meeting, I had this tall, thin Lutheran, but he was an apostate, come up to me, and he says, now, Brother Sanders, I know we don't agree, and there's a lot we don't agree on, but we're still brothers in the Lord. And I told him, no, we're not. No, we're not. You see, God's word, the Bible's very clear. Everything that you stood for, they were against prayer, praying in the name of Jesus. And everything that this man stood for is God's word, the Bible calls sin, from abortion to sodomy, the whole shooting match. And so I told him, I said, no, we're not brothers. We have different fathers. Your father is not God. Your father is the devil. And I let him know very, very clear. And I think he knew that. But he had nothing more to say about that. And that's exactly what they do, because he's talking about the Apostle Paul saying, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off the occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, that they may be found even as we. And here, what he's referring to is that they're saying, well, you see, we're apostles too, just like Paul and Peter and James, we're apostles, but no, they come and they're preaching another gospel, which is not a gospel. He goes on to say, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Well, when I was talking about what we showed that film from the Church of England, it started out with Sarah Mahaley saying how they prayed and how they spoke with the Holy Spirit, how that they were in union and contact with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit told them that it was good, that there was time now to embrace LGBTQ. Folks, now, the Holy Spirit does not tell you it's time to embrace sin, what God's Word, the Bible, calls an abominable. And literally, this woman here, this Sarah Mahaley, is an abomination, along with her other two with her there, Justin Wilby and Stephen Cantrell. They, the Bible describes as an abominable people. He goes on to say, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's exactly how they try to portray themselves, that it's the gentle and loving and loving. But they weren't. They were deadly and deathly. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Now, what gives them the idea? How can they possibly justify lying the way they do? Well, I think the answer is found over in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. And I'm going to take a little bit of a wet my whistle here. And so, this is the third time today preaching this message. Here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Well, that's an interesting thing, actually, because that word reasonable there in the Greek, if I remember right, is logikos, which is the word we use for logical. It's your logical service to do that. It's, you know, and being a Christian, it's only logical that you use your body in ways, being a doer of the word, not just a hearer only, to further the gospel. And he says here, when he's talking about presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, here he's talking about dying to the world. A sacrifice is when you sacrifice, you're dying to the world. Here he goes on to say, and be not conformed. Be not conformed to this world. This is where these apostates are saying exactly the opposite. Remember Rick Warren in his Purpose Driven Church book? He wrote The Purpose Driven Life and The Purpose Driven Church. And so in there he talks about, you'll never get unsaved Harry, unchurched Harry, into the church by beating him over the head with the Bible. What you need to do is you need to conform the world, make the world to where, or the church, conform the church to where Harry would want to come into it, to the world. But there's no logic in that, because why would that bring him into the church when he's already got that out there in the world? And so here, where it says, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Here, it's an interesting thing here. Our renewed minds were once blinded by the god of this world, Satan, and I believe Rick Warren still is. Now, they should be and can be in harmony and guided by the mind of Christ, is what he's telling you. That's what we should be. Our minds should be guided. Now, here is what I heard this apostate preacher preaching. And boy, I'm going to tell you, he looked so heavenly. And he was smiling so greatly when he was saying, we're living in a different time, in a different age, and things are different today. People's perspective on things have changed. And today we accept LGBTQ. It's as the normal. It's no longer because our minds have been renewed. Well, that's a lie, folks, told by a lighter, and that lie comes right from the pit of hell itself. But that's exactly what was described there over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, that Satan's ministers come as angels of light. And so here I want to go over to Genesis 2, because now the things they said a number of things that God got wrong, right? Now, in other words, things that they say God had got it wrong. And, of course, the first thing is marriage. They say God got that wrong. And they promote what they call same-sex marriage. Well, folks, I got to tell you, it was God that gave us the first divine institution, and that was marriage in the family. And I think God knew more about it than anybody else. And so we'll go over to Genesis chapter 2 and see what God has to say about it. And as we do, we go to verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. Now, here's an interesting thing, because a number of theologians for years have believed that deep sleep was a primeval picture of the second death of the second Adam, which with Adam, that Jesus was the second man, Adam, the spiritual man, and that here it was a type that here as Eve came from Adam's deep sleep or type of death and produced Eve, his wife, that the Christ sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary and his death produced the church. And this is how you have this comparative here. And so here he goes on to say, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam and slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into the man. Now listen to this, because Adam knows exactly what a woman is. He wouldn't qualify to be on the Supreme Court or to be, you know, to hold an office in the Democratic Party, because Adam knew exactly what a woman was. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called a woman because she was taken out of man. So that word woman means under man. But you see here, folks, women are always females. Women are always females. God only gave us two genders. All of this other stuff that you're coming up with are delusions and illusions from people that have been given over to a reprobate mind. Now, they may look like you and me, they may dress like you and me and smile, but those that believe in all of these 100 different genders, folks, they're delusional. They're fools. And so here now, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So wives can only be women. Wives can only be women. Mr. Buttigieg, who has a husband, is the wife. He's the wife of his husband. No, he's not. He's a fool. The man's a flat outright fool, okay? And he has taken paternity leave. That's right, he's taken maternity leave. Well, see, I got to explain something to you, something we've known for a very long time. Men don't have babies. if you give birth to a baby, then you, well, I can tell you, folks, only women give birth to babies. If you give birth to babies, you are not a man. Mr. Buttigieg thinks he's a woman. And so here, in the last verses, and they were both naked, and the man and his wife were not ashamed. Well, they weren't ashamed because sin had not yet entered in, and they were innocents. It's at the period of the first dispensation, the time of innocence. Boy, and you know what? That we're going to have that again someday when we leave this world. There will be, again, once again, innocence. Now, I want to go over to Matthew chapter 19. And in Matthew chapter 19, and I will be, I passed it up again. I will be in verses 4 through 6. We read this. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Okay? Remember, it was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? And so, folks, Jesus knew a little bit about that since he was the creator. He was the one that made them to begin with, right? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Again, folks, a wife can only be a woman. Okay, the husband can only be a man. That's reality. What I'm telling you is reality. What the world is teaching the children and very, very gullible, woke people is delusional. It's absolutely delusional out there. And by the way, again, remember, God used the word reprobate, reprobate. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. Well, here, today, I'm afraid people don't. You see, God gave us the first divine institution, that of marriage. And you only have to work at it from the first day to the last. That's right, folks, from the first day to the last. Today, people say, well, you know, I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy. I'm not, maybe the problem is not necessarily always with, you know, first of all, when in the world were you ever guaranteed that you were going to be happy? When you took your wedding vows, you said for better or for worse, till death do us part. And folks, that's what it meant. And what happens all the time, I've seen, because I've done a lot of marriage counseling, and it hardly ever fails. When there's a problem, the woman always says, he doesn't love me. He doesn't love me. And when God commands men to love their wives, and the men always say, she doesn't respect me. She does not respect me. The Bible says, wives, obey your husband. Well, I'm going to tell you, that word is hated by so many women today. Obey your husband. No. Because of a society that has taken the teachings of God's word, the Bible, and perverted them. And here now, you've got where pride and a total lack of discernment is set in. And this is why you have so many divorces. Now, what's the second shortest verse in all the Bible? Over in Malachi, God hates divorce. God hates divorce, folks. God hates divorce. Three words. Well, now, you know, God has to be conformed. It's a time that God renews his mind, and that he has to realize that times are different now, so he's got to get with the times. No, 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 don't work that way. It doesn't work that way, folks. You see, God's laws will not change. God is immutable. He's unchangeable. God will not stand before one single individual, but every single individual will stand before God. That's the way it works. And, you know, for those in the deep state, if they think that with Hillary Clinton and her bunch that they're going to have all these crooked lawyers there interceding between them and God, don't work that way. All those crooked lawyers are going to be right there with Hillary and the others on that day of judgment. And so, again, this passage here is a very, very clear definition of the marriage union. One man, one woman, they become one flesh, and they do that through the children. Now, I want to go over to Hebrews chapter 13. And in Hebrews chapter 13, we read here, verse 4, marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Okay, so the Lord's, you know, purpose for his human creation was that of permanent monogamous marriage between one man and one woman, okay? Oh, he gives you that in so many different passages in Scripture, with children raised in the corresponding family unit, folks. So any type of sexual relationship is wrong, whether premarital, extramarital, homosexual, if you will, or sodomized, incestuous, or anything else. It says here, God will judge. God will judge. And that's what he made. One, he made sex for marriage. And then the second thing that they said, that God got it wrong, yes, God got it wrong, was sodomy. When it came to what they call LGBTQ, which you see nowadays, I mean, they say, well, it's acceptable. It's acceptable. You see Fox News, you see these people on there professing themselves to be Christians, and they're talking about how you can be a homosexual, you can be a sodomite, and still live a Christian life as long as you abstain from having homosexual sex. Folks, that is not what the Word of God teaches. That is an ignorant teaching from people that are biblically illiterate. The Bible, if you are a homosexual, folks, the minute you repent of that. When you repent of that and cease to be that, then you cease to be a homosexual. If you're a car thief, the moment you repent of being a car thief and cease stealing cars, then you cease to be a car thief, folks. And this is what repentance is all about. You can't continue to be a homosexual and say, okay, now I'm a homosexual still, but I'm also a Christian. No. You have to repent of that. And then here, I want to go over to, I want to go over to 1 Kings chapter 14. And in 1 Kings chapter 14, we read here in let me read verses 22 through 24. And Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins, which they had committed above all that their fathers had done. For they also built them high places and images and groves, and on every high hill and under every green tree. And they were there, and there were there also sodomites in the land, And they did according to all the abominations of the nations, which the Lord cast out before the children. Well, the sin of sodomy was considered normal behavior by the nations of Canaan. Just like today, LGBTQ, sodomy, is considered normal. And actually, even desired above heterosexuality, which is normal. But now, again, they've taken and they've got what God calls an abominable thing, an unclean thing, an abominable thing. They have said now that no, that is going to be what is normal. That's accepted by the woke, by Democrats out there today. Folks, God doesn't change. He's immutable. It was an abomination then, and it's an abomination now. And let me tell you, the Bible says that homosexuals will not find their place in heaven, that they will not enter into heaven. Okay, and so here, I want to go over to, for example, well, Philippians chapter 3 and 2. Philippians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Finally, my brother, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concession. The dogs he's referring to are homosexuals here. He's referring to homosexuals. Now, in the Middle East, a dog was despised. The dogs were the least revered animals. Lions were the most revered. But they referred to homosexuals, which today, the woke, those out there in the woke, they desire them over heterosexual. Now, here, I want to go over to Deuteronomy 23. And in Deuteronomy 23, we read verses 17 and 18. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. And so here, again, today, whoredom today is just, it's off the scales today. It is really off the scales with our young women in the colleges, in the high schools. It's just, and so-called married women with these. One of the real major problems out there today is these smart aleck phones. They're called smartphones, and you've got a pandemic of women, and we're talking about wives that are sending nude pictures of themselves to people, and it's a very dangerous thing they're doing, a dangerous thing. Some of them get a kick because they may be using false addresses and whatever, but you've got some very sick guys out there, some real sickos, and they have ways of finding out and who these people are. But what's happening, well, it goes both ways. These women aren't committing infidelity with themselves. It's usually, they, for the most case, praise the Lord, at least it's still with men. These women are cheating with men, but often it's other married men, but more and more it's single men, divorced men who have been divorced, and these women who are trying to hide this from their husbands are getting caught because their husbands are waiting till they're sleeping and they're looking at their phone and they're leaving a trail, all these text messages to their lovers, and they're being caught left and right. And, of course, it goes the other way, too. They've been the husbands can be caught doing the same thing too. But it's this, these so-called smart aleck phones give them a false sense of security that they can do these things now and get away with it. They've got this where they can safely send nude pictures of themselves without without suffering consequences, folks. And the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And so here, again, he says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore. That's the amount of money that a whore gets paid, not to bring that money for her being a whore, for her services as a whore, or the price of a dog. The dog is a sodomite. The dog is a sodomite. And so, into the house of the Lord thy God, for any vow, or even hath thou these abomination unto the Lord thy God. In other words, here, again, as the writer is talking about, it's really evident from the parallel structures of the ordinances of the two behaviors of the whore and the sodomite and the whore and the dog, okay? In fact, what I just read you over in Philippians 3:2, beware of dogs. He's referring to homosexuals. And so here now, if we go over to 2 Kings, and in 2 Kings chapter 23, we read this, verses 7. And he brake down the houses of the sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women were hanging the groves. And then we see over in 2 Samuel. Now over here we see King David. And King David in 2 Samuel verse 23, we read this. Now he's instructing his men. These are the last words. Now these are the last words of David, the son of Jesse, and the man who had raised up on high the anointed of the God of Jacob's and the sweet psalmist of Israel. And here's what he says, verse 6, but the sons of Belial, those are homosexuals, sodomites, what he's talking about. It's LGBT. It's LGBTQ, okay? The sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns that thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. David is instructing his men, don't touch the sodomites, don't touch them with your hands. He says, but the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place. In other words, he's saying you don't touch a sodomite because of disease with your hands, but you have a... Now there's a lot of sodomites out there really angry at me right now. They're really angry at me, but that's a misplaced anger. It's the word of God. That's what God has said. They won't be standing before me, but I'll guarantee you they'll be standing before God. And so getting angry at me won't do them much good. What they need to do, the Bible says, learn not to burn, repent or perish, repent or perish. And so here David says, make sure you don't touch it with your hands. You have a fence of iron, you run them through with a spear, and then you burn their bodies right where they drop dead because of disease. And then here, I want to go with, and this is a very familiar passage to all of you out there, Romans, over in Romans chapter 1. We read here. I passed it up. How did I get all the way over here? Romans chapter 1. Starting with verse 24. Now here, when the woke, antichrist, mainstream media, the apostate church, the public so-called education, the Hollywood, the entire Democratic Party, Communist Party, they're pushing LGBTQ on the children. And this is what they're preaching here, or they're pushing. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, again, remember, they're saying God got this all wrong. These apostate preachers out there are saying God got it wrong. Well, this is what the Word of God has to say. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do these things which were not convenient, meaning proper. That word there actually is the word we use for proper. And so here now, I want to finish here by going to Revelation 22. And during the week, I'll finish the rest of it, because the other thing that they say God got it wrong was where it comes to witchcraft and sorcery. Witchcraft and sorcery. So we're going to take a look at what God has to say about witchcraft and sorcery. And so in Revelation 22, verse 15, we read, "For without our dogs," he's referring to Sodomites again. Now he's referring to the New Jerusalem, the city in heaven, the New Jerusalem where the church will be. And he's saying, on the outside of that, they won't get into heaven. No, they're going into a completely different place. On the outside of heaven is where the Sodomites will be, and the sorcerers, that's Big Pharma today, and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Well, again, that's kind of the platform of the Democratic Party. And I know I'm running out of time. How much time do I have?
About a minute and a half.
Okay, well, I'm out of time for tonight. So, folks, again, God's Word, the Bible, is very, very clear, to you out there tonight. Do not be conformed to the world. And if you have not, if you cannot say to me, Pastor, I know if I die tonight, I'd go home to be with the Lord. If I were you, I would be in a real hurry to pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of my sins, and ask the Lord Jesus to come into my life and be the Lord of my life, all of my life, knowing that he will honor that commitment. It's not God's will that any comes short of the glory. But folks, if you die in your sin, if you die unsaved, well, it's a very, very horrible thing for eternity. And if you do that, if you ask the Lord Jesus to come into your life, he will. And you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and it'll be the smartest thing you've ever done. And so, again, we're out of time, so as we normally say at this time, good night, God bless, and always, always, and I do mean always, ready? Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it? That sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge, but it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 888-SHARE-19. That's 888-SHARE-19. 888-SHARE-19.